because I know when this life is over, I will be with him for all eternity. And if you don't know this morning, I need to tell you, you can know right now by coming to the Lord by faith. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes, Lord, and you will have something to praise the Lord about. Remember, this season is about the Lamb of God who came into the world to take away our sins. It's about him and not about us. Yes. Well, I see I'm going to have a hard time with this series because it looked like the devil was trying to take my voice. But that's all right. He's a liar. We're going to go on anyway. Remember the real reason for the season. And as we enter this season, it's nothing wrong with giving gifts. But don't let that be your priority. It's nothing wrong with celebrating in other ways, but don't let that be your priority. Remember the real reason for the season.
Yes, sir.
Jesus was born. The Savior was born.
That's right.
The one who came to be our substitute, to die in our place. God bless you, and God keep you as our friend.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No need to
worry.
Got the gospel. Transmitting
all, right.
All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Those are words that describe my name. You promised.
Just for who you are.
Not for what
mercy endureth forever and ever, God, you be. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You are good. Yes, you are.
You're
good. Oh, you're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. 'Cause you are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all God, you are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways to us. Lord, you are consistent in all of your ways. And you're faithful in all of your ways. Even when I'm unfaithful, you're faithful in all your ways to us. God, you are loving in all of your ways. You're graceful in all of your ways. You are merciful in all of your ways to us. 'Cause you're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. You're a good, good mother, brother, sister, father, friend, doctor, confidant. You are everything, everything, everything that I need to us. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. Hey, to us. Thank you.
our children, your children, my children, all of our children, they just start school. So it's not enough just to send them to school. They need to know how to succeed in life. Amen. Amen. But not just the children, but even adults. Amen. Amen. Because how can you raise your children if you don't know? So this is not an administration just for young people. Every adult needs to know about success in life, especially God's way of being successful. Amen? Amen? So open your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 8. I'm grateful to all of you that helped us yesterday with our young people. They had a wonderful concert. If you are not here, you miss a real treat. And I'm especially grateful to those of you that took out of your busy schedule to come despite the bad weather. That is a serious statement. We had over 300 people in a stormy weather. 328 to be exact. That is very remarkable. Thanks to all of the parents, thanks to all of the volunteers, and especially I'm grateful to all of the young people. Amen. We are also thankful to our music staff because they did an awesome job yesterday. Amen. I'm grateful to all of you pastors that are here this morning. Amen. I see way up there Pastor Mitchell, Pastor Paul, and the twins. You're here. Pastor Jim, Pastor Jill, Pastor Tenny, Pastor Kofi, all the way from Mississippi by way of Africa. Pastor Wilson, Pastor Melissa, Pastor Patricia, amen. Look, and that's Pastor Don there. We are all the other pastors. Amen, Pastor Vasa. Amen. And I saw Pastor Nelson earlier. He probably in the choir hide. Oh, some other pastors are here. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want you all to get to know all of our pastors. And there are some people who would like to be pastor. Just keep studying. Amen? Amen? The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. Very familiar scripture. The word of God says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. Be careful to do what it says." He said, "Then you will make your ways prosper," talking about prosperity, "and you shall find good success." Amen. That's Pastor Hall way back there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that we serve a God that has made provision for us to have good success. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in a brand new way. Use me, O God, to be an inspiration to somebody. Holy Spirit, touch our lives. We need the miracle of success. And Lord, I thank you that everyone under the sound of my voice will experience a godly success in their lives. We believe it. We receive it by faith. Not in the sweet by and by. Right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject that I call the school of success in God. Let me admit, this is going to be a series of teaching. So today is just the beginning. I will continue to touch upon this. I believe the best place to start when you are talking about success in God is to first define what success is. Am I right about it? My brothers and my sisters, success in the kingdom of God simply means completion and fulfillment of your life purpose. I believe I'll say that again. You are successful when you're able to complete and fulfill the very purpose for which you are created. That means, my brothers and my sisters, if you don't fulfill your purpose while you're still here on earth, regardless of how many people give you accolade, regardless of how many people are clapping for you, in reality, you're a failure. It is so important that while you're yet living, that you fulfill your purpose on earth. That's what makes you successful. Tell somebody I got it. Please, if you are listening to me carefully, that means success is not having plenty of money. If you are listening to me, that means being successful doesn't mean you have houses and land. Ladies and gentlemen, true success is when you fulfill the very purpose for which God has made you. Amen, somebody. And one thing I love about God is that he gave you and I a blueprint for success. I love it when somebody will tell me to do something and then give me directives. So really, when it comes to success, it's really up to you. Please permit me to correct wrong thinking in the body of Christ. Many of us think if we're going to succeed, we're just going to ask God to make us successful. Wrong thinking. God is not up to God. It's up to you. God has given you the secret of what you need to do to succeed. And the secret, he said, this book of the law, talking about the Bible, he says, don't let it depart from your mouth. In other words, if you want to succeed, you have to learn to constantly confess and declare the word of God. That's not up to God, that's up to you. That's up to you, that's up to you, that's up to you, that's up to you. That's up to people here in the choir stand, that's up to me. Yet many of us go through life, we never declare the word of God. So you choose to be a failure. You know one thing that I regret to say, there are many people who are failures, even in the church house. Because either nobody has taken the time to educate them, this is how you succeed. This is what success really means. God said the secret to success, the book of the law, the Bible, don't ever let it depart from your mouth. Secondly, he said you need to meditate upon it day and night. Many of you know more about movies than you know about the Word of God. I believe many people in the house of God choose to be a bum. I regret to say, many of you know more about, what's the latest rapper now? I don't know their name. It's a waste of my time. So the question really is, what is it that is preoccupying your mind? You see, meditate day and night on the book of the law. And then it says, be careful to do what it says. By the way, that's the MO of God. Yes, if you really want to know God, those are three things that he always asks of you. Even when it comes to faith, first you have to get it in your heart. Secondly, you have to put it in your mouth. And thirdly, you have to put it into action. Many people have faith in their heart, but they never declare it in their mouth. So they stay average. And then they become envious and jealous of people that are successful. But success is available to all God's children. This book of the law, don't let it depart from your mouth. That's confession, declaring the word of God constantly. He said, meditate upon it. Squeeze the juice out of it. And then he said, be careful to do what he said. That's action. Some people just talk about God, they never do what God said. Some people preach about God, but they never do what God said. Some people sing about God, but they never do what God said. Action is very important. He say, if you do that, if you learn to believe what God says through meditation, if you learn to declare what God says, you confess regularly. He said, if you learn to do what God says, he said, you will make your way prosper. Hallelujah. Not only will you be prosperous, he said, you will find good success. Not just El Chapo success, good success. I can stop right there and let you go home. If you will just do what I just reminded you in the word of God, you will be a success story. If confessing the word of God is not adequate in your life, start today. All those things you learn in church school, all those things you learn in your singing, the word of God, all those things you heard from a man of God, a woman of God, all those things you read and study in the word of God, begin to declare it. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. My God shall supply all of my need according to, all that you are reading. Put it in your mouth. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, then I found out through life that there are five basic elements of success. How many?
Five.
So each Sunday I will take each of it one by one. Those five basic elements, number one is that you got to have a vision. To succeed in life, you need a vision. Number two, you need wisdom. Wisdom of God. Number three, you need discipline. A lot of people want to succeed, but they lack the discipline to succeed. Number four, you need diligence. You got to be diligent. And finally, you need the favor of God. So each Sunday, I will take it one by one. So today, I want to start with vision. Amen?
Amen?
And guess what I'll be talking about next Sunday? Wisdom. And the following Sunday, I'll talk about discipline. And the next Sunday, I'll talk about diligence. And then we will conclude with the favor of God. Amen?
Amen?
Ladies and gentlemen, vision is what I want to focus in this morning. Vision is your ability to see beyond your now. If all you can see is what's right in front of you, you're not a man or woman of vision. Can you see yourself 3 years from now? Ladies and gentlemen, there are three things you need to do with your vision. Number one, you need to get one. Amen. Number two, you need to stay with your vision. Amen. And number three, you need to learn the art of focus. Visionary people are very focused people. You don't see them toss, zigzag, flip-flop. They know where they're going, and you cannot talk them out of it. Their vision even comes before their friends. Their vision even comes many times before food. A man or woman of vision will ignore sleep. He or she is so focused on where he's going. And he will not stop, she will not stop until he or she gets there. Ladies and gentlemen, please permit me to explain what I meant when I say get a vision. The word of God said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, it said, where there is no vision, people will do what? They will perish. That's what the word of God says. So it's very, very important, therefore, that you visualize your future. You've got to be able to see what's ahead. Visualization. Just like I'm standing before you now, I can literally write all what is going to happen to this church in the next 10 years. Not just the ministry, your own life, my life. I ought to be able to visualize where I'm going with my life, where I'm going with my family, where I'm going with my business, where I'm going with my ministry. Do you have a vision? That which you visualize will materialize in season. Did you hear what I said? That which you visualize will eventually materialize. In fact, by permission of the Holy Ghost, I want to say it will materialize in this season. Not in the sweet by and by. You hardly hear me preach about sweet by and by. God wants to move in your life, in my life, right now. So the enemy of your soul does not want you to visualize your future. He wants to create all kinds of distraction. But you ought to be able to visualize yourself progressing. You ought to be able to visualize yourself overcoming. You ought to be able to visualize yourself walking in victory. You ought to be able to visualize living holy. You ought to be able to visualize yourself being delivered. If you are sick this morning, you ought to be able to visualize yourself being healed long before you go to the hospital, long before the doctor see you, long before you, in your spirit, you just know that you're coming out of it. I'm talking about vision. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is that too many people in the house of God only visualize themselves falling and failing, and being defeated, and going down. Many people can only visualize themselves aging up and getting drunk and losing in life. Some of you live with them. So part of your Christian duty is to affect people that are around you. That's what makes you the salt of the earth. People are to be around you and sense the glory of God. Just because you're in the city ought to be better. Just because you're in your family reunion, just because of you, the whole family ought to be better. Because of how you see yourself. Are you still here? Don't let the devil corner you to only see yourself sick, to only see yourself depressed, Don't let the devil corner you to be only seeing yourself broke, busted, and disgusted. A man or woman of vision with no dime in their pocket, they still know they ain't winner. Are you still here? I'm believing God for a church that will have a lot of good success. Not in material things. Material things can come and go anytime. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, I know how to be content. I know how to be abased. He said, I've been there. I know what it means to have plenty, and I know what it means to have nothing. But in all of that, you've learned to trust in God. Somebody shout vision. Ladies and gentlemen, you can even visualize yourself holy. You may be one of those that are living in a rough neighborhood, or you work with a bunch of people, they're crooked, and they're doing all kinds. But in your spirit, you can visualize yourself holy. You can visualize yourself as being righteous. If you can see it, then you can have it. Did you hear what I just said? I'm talking to some Abraham in the house. I'm talking to some Mr. Abraham, Miss Abraham, Mrs. Abraham. God said to that man, say, hey, boo, if you can see it, you can have it. To help him out, he said, hey, boo, look up. What do you see? Abraham said, I saw stars. He said, so shall thy seed be. We live in a world of gloom and doom. All they want to say is something negative. But in the midst of famine, God can make every dead bone to come alive. Open your mouth, shout amen. Hallelujah. It's amazing what God wants to do in your life, in my life. My life was not moving until I began to have vision for that life. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, if you can see it, you can have it. To get a vision means you have to be able to visualize beyond your now. Not only do you have to visualize beyond your now, you have to visualize your preferred future. What is it that you want from your house? What do you want concerning your children? What do you want concerning your grandchildren? You ought to be able to see and then guide those grandchildren and guide those children. And when they're going the wrong way, you can say, hey, children, no, turn right. Mama, why you say turn right? Because I see something. Are you all still here? Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, to get a vision also is to have some fantasies of what God has in store for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are really, through your fantasies, you are fueling your decision by what you fantasize, what you see. What you see in your spirit, what you see with your naked eye. Ladies and gentlemen, because you will become what you see. Did you hear what I just said? The Bible says you will become what you see. The Bible also says you'll become what you think. So just ask yourself, what have you been thinking lately? Some of you spend a whole day thinking about who don't like you. Forget them. Who are these people? One of my biggest frustrations is when somebody will call me for counseling and they want to spend 1 hour of my time talking about who don't like them. And you can just see the uncomfortableness. I'll be moving my balls. I'm saying, Lord, please tell this woman to shut up. Can you imagine? I don't even keep count of who don't like me anymore. Who cares? They didn't even like Jesus. Hello? Be free. Be free from within. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why some of us are failing and falling is because we have visions of carnality. Are you listening to me? You'll be surprised what's going on in some people's mind right now. They can't wait to get out of the church. They can see themselves on their way to the casino. They can see themselves, well, if I just put a 20, oh, and they're visualizing it. You are still here? It's amazing. It's in that mind. It's in the mind. Here you are, you're talking about Jesus saved, Jesus love, and they're thinking, chung, chung, chung. What am I trying to tell you? What you visualize in your spirit will eventually manifest in your life. Amen, somebody. If all you see is you doing wrong, you will never do right. Are you listening to me this morning? If every time you think of yourself, I used to deal with a brother like that. I'm mentoring him, and all his words, oh, please pray for me. I said, what are we going to pray for this time? Well, I'm just hoping the police don't get me. I said, finally, it dawned on me. I said, sir, are you related to a police or something? I said, because every time we come around, that's all you talk about. Why? Is something wrong with you, man? Hey, boo, what's up? So don't preoccupy your mind with negative things. If all you see is doing wrong, you will never do right. Amen, somebody. I don't know about you. I'm not the most perfect person, but I see myself living holy. Amen. Have you ever noticed when I hang around other preachers, everybody wants to look important? Hey, I'm this, I'm Reverend, Doctor, Bishop, Assistant to the Pope. I say, please. You just need to know who you are in Christ. If not, life will intimidate you. People will make you look like you're nobody. When God calls you somebody, amen. I don't know about you. That's what Paul was talking about. Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If all you're talking about, if all you're thinking about is the thing of the Spirit, you would not even remember to do the lust of the flesh. I repeat, whatever you envision is what will materialize in your life. So imagine yourself blessed. I want every member of this church. Now they may think you're bougie, but we're not bougie. We just know something. Amen. That's there's nothing bougie about me. But oh boy, I know I'm a blessed man. Woo! I know I don't have to kiss up to nobody. I know I'm the head and not the tail. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I don't always have all the goodies. But you know, it's not what you have, it's really what's on the inside. What is on the inside of you will sustain you even in the days of adversity. Amen, somebody. You can even think abundance in the midst of a drought. Did you hear what I said? I said you can think abundance in the middle of a drought. Very few would dare do that. Everybody is so busy trying to be politically correct, and they've learned to fake it and put on. But really, you don't have to do all of that. Even if you're struggling right now, you can still, the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. So right in the midst of a drought, right in the midst of a situation, you still know in your knowing that God can make a way. Is there anybody here that can testify that God has made a way for you in the past? Amen. But you know, I feel my anointing coming. But you know, one day I was minding my own business and the choir sang, if he did it before, he can do it again. I said, oh, glory, oh, glory, oh. Somebody then found my page. I shouted all day just by myself. My wife said, are you all right? I said, I'll be all right. Let me shout a little more. Because you can look back over your life and see what God has done. So if he did it before, he can do it again. Do I have an amen? Do I have an amen? So you have to learn to talk abundance even in the midst of a drought. You know what frustrates me the most in church house? Some people will not even talk abundance in the midst of abundance. Here God is blessing them. You can see all the hand of God in their life. They got sick, God healed them. They ran out of money, God made a way. They lost their job, God sustained them. And then they're still talking poor old me. Shut up! I'm sorry. God is a good God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to tell you? You have to learn to be a little cuckoo. Mm-hmm. Amen, somebody. You have to learn to be a little crazy. Yes, I said it. You see all those folks watching me on TV say, what did he say? You know why? Because you can't just go by what you see with your natural eye. That's what makes Elijah to be talking abundance when the cloud is pretty clear. He's telling everybody it's going to rain. And nobody see any sign. The weatherman say it's going to be sunny today. You look at the cloud is pretty clear. And yet he's saying, in my spirit, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I wonder this morning, what are you hearing in your spirit concerning yourself, concerning your family, concerning your business, concerning your ministry? Ladies and gentlemen, I dare you to be a little strange. I dare you to be a little weird. Spiritual language for that is that I dare you to call those things that be not as though they are. Are you all still here? Touch somebody and say, call it. Touch somebody and say, call it. Folk will look at you and say, that don't make no sense. But have the audacity to call it. Can I tell you a little secret about myself? I call it as I see. Did you hear what I said? I call it as I see. I don't care what's in the bank account. I don't care what the weatherman say. If I see abundance, I call it abundance. With no dime in my pocket. Tell somebody, call it. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you. Hey, who am I preaching to this morning? Tell somebody, I call it as I see it. I call it as I see it. I call it as I see it. In case you miss it, that's what faith is about. You show me your work, I'll show you my faith. I just know in my knowing, I got a feeling this morning, everything will be all right. That don't mean I don't have no problem. That don't mean I don't have no issues. That doesn't mean I don't have challenges. But deep in my spirit, everything will be all right. That's why I call it the way I see it. I don't know about you. I am the head and not the tail. How about you? I'm above and not beneath. How about you? I saw one of my friends a few days ago. They had some dignitary coming to town. I shared this with Pastor Mitchell. They said, oh, we want to reserve a table for you. I said, what do I need a table for? Well, there's some big shot coming to town. I said, I don't need to see him. I'm a big shot. Hey! Greater is he that is in you than the devil that is in the whole world. How do you see yourself? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says faith is the substance of things you're longing for, you're hoping for, you believe in God. The evidence of things you don't see. So you don't wait until the battle is over. Right in the midst of the battle, you say, hey, I've got a feeling. And who am I preaching to this morning? I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're working on. I don't know what the devil is trying to tear down your life. But God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can do, all that you can think, according to the power that worketh in you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to know what a person is seeing, listen to what they are saying. That's a free advice to all of you young ladies. Don't just marry a jackleg dude. If you really want to know what that man is thinking, just listen to what he's saying. And if you hear nothing but negative stuff, I don't have this, I don't have that, yeah. You better pick your purse and run like a mad dog. If your mouth is talking downhill, your life is going to go where your mouth is. Are you all still here this morning? That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. I was in the new members class the other day. Some of you are there with me. We were asking everybody, why did you join this church? One married couple say, you know, every time you open your mouth, something positive comes out. As husband and wife, we knew this is where we belong. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. Some churches, all they talk about is, God is good, you are awful, try again. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh, so he is. The Bible says, whatsoever good, whatsoever lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think about these things. Philippians 4 and 8, that's the kind of church I want us to be. We ought to be making, and we are making our world a better place. You'll be amazed, even in the midst of envy and jealousy, you'll be amazed. How many people in this community know deep within what this church represents? God has given you something to be very proud of. That's why you cannot have a conversation with everybody. Can you all handle this? I was talking to my son in the ministry. I said, no, I don't hang around everybody. No. Some of them, they cannot even stand my conversation. One of the media staff, they were calling me, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? I said, I don't have time for you. They said, huh? Just like that? I said, because if I talk to you, you probably will go home crying. I can't have no conversation with you. Here you're talking positive, they always want to talk negative. Here you're talking faith in God, they're talking about gloom and doom. We have nothing to talk about. You got to be careful who you have conversation with. I was visiting one day in the hospital, and folks in the room, all they do just talking negative. Well, this one was whole, and I bury him. That one was whole. He got cancer, I bury him. And I said, you see, that's why I don't have a gun. I couldn't take it. You cannot be talking to everybody. Run far, raise your Baptist finger, tell them, I got to go pee. Just do something. Get out of every mess. God is doing a new thing. Amen, somebody. I say God is doing a new thing. The Bible says when the world is talking down, you ought to be talking up. Amen. Let me say this in conclusion. Now, if you get a vision, if you visualize your future, if you see the heart of God operating your life, the next thing you need to do when it comes to vision, you got to get ready for what you see. What did I say? Get ready for what you see. Don't just see it. Don't just speak it. Get ready. I'm amazed how many people have great dreams, big vision, but they don't make preparation. Some people will even say, I can't wait until the Lord bless me with a car. Then I'm going to be coming to church. One day, I couldn't take it anymore. I told this sister, I said, you will never have a car thinking like that. You don't wait until you get blessed before you praise God. You got to learn to get ready before the blessing comes. Amen, somebody. You have to get ready to be blessed. You have to get ready to be healed. Are you listening to me? You have to get ready to be set free. You don't tell me when you get your life together, you're coming to church. Many of us are in church today because our life is not together. Don't raise your hand. I know. Maybe I'm just talking about my own self. But you come to church because this is a hospital. You get ready to be healed. You get ready to be blessed. You show up. You say, Lord, anywhere you can bless me. Amen, somebody. It will be too late when blessing come and then you start preparing. I'm talking to some Noah in this house. I hear the Lord talking to Noah. I say, hey, boo, start preparing for the rain. Make the ark before it starts to rain. You don't wait until it starts to rain and you say, oh my God, let's make an ark. Long before it rains, you begin to build your ark. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to stop, but you got to learn to build an ark at the back of your house. When there's no rain, it look like a fool. Some of you will get home before you feel. You got to be willing to look like a fool for a little while. Ooh. Oh, glory. I done preached myself happy. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you have to learn to have a garage before you have a car.